800-288-2852.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we're going to have an interesting show. We've been talking about hiring reform in the news, and we're going to be talking about it today on Fed Access. The transition. November 1st came, and some agencies were good to go in terms of hiring reform, and other agencies weren't. I wrote a column in the Post where I talked about the federal Santa Claus coming, and I was hoping he was going to come on November 1st, but he didn't come all over in all federal agencies. So we're going to talk about what's going on with that. I have in the studio with me, I have Linda Ricks. She's the co-CEO of AVIEW Technologies, and they run AVIEWCentral.com, which is a federal job site that many agencies will go to and utilize them in terms of hiring and recruiting applicants in terms of the federal government. We're going to be talking about the hiring reform with her, as well as a couple other different interesting topics that you guys got going on. Linda, welcome, and thank you for coming on Fed Access again.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
You guys were one of the people who were, you know, tasked out to be compliant with the hiring reform. You got a number of different agencies with your clients.
Yep.
Talk to me about what your process. Were you guys able to, did federal Santa Claus come to your agencies?
Definitely.
Okay.
We showed up with our bag of new toys.
Outstanding.
And we actually started working on this in May of 2009.
Okay.
Okay. When
so way before even this was announced or executive order.
Right.
I mean, the memorandum came out or anything.
Correct.
Okay.
And what we did was we were invited to testify before the Senate committee that has oversight over personnel management matters, and they had proposed the Hiring Process Improvement Act. So back in May, we were asked to testify on that and saw where this was going. So. In August, we got all of our customers together on an interagency basis and took the proposed Hiring Process Improvement Act and then some guidance that OPM had put out on the 80-day hiring model and various other kind of pieces of legislation, built this whole matrix and said, from our perspective, this is where this is going to go.
Okay. Kind of like like a best-case scenario and predicting.
Yeah.
Sure.
And we basically said, so if it goes in this direction, here's what we're going to do to help make sure that you can execute on the first day that you have to to make this happen. And then we had a variety of interagency focus group sessions and a huge amount of just getting the information out and continuing to push it out. So we had client meetings in March. We had them again in June after the memo was signed and came out. Again in September to launch, officially launch for November 1st.
Okay.
Then we took our technology platform and completely revamped that platform to be to support the president's memorandum. What we needed to do was switch the platform so that it was manager-centric and make sure that managers
Because
could,
part of that memorandum says that managers need to be a lot more involved in the recruiting process.
Right. And most of our client agencies have put mandatory performance elements in their managers' performance plans saying, we're going to hold you accountable for these hiring process improvements.
Okay.
So we wanted to make sure that they had everything they needed right at their fingertips. We were already experts in category rating and a lot of the other things, the competency-based assessments, all these other things.
Because this stuff is not new.
It was not new to us.
Right.
So we retooled everything, put it so that it would be front and center and right in front of the manager. And it's been just universally well-received. It's been well-received by both HR, the HR community, and the hiring managers. We've really, you know, our average for most of our clients From you know day one to selection process is about 20 days.
Okay.
So it wasn't a big stretch for us to comply. But so then we developed our tagline, which
and
was
so, and so you're saying your life cycle is about 20 days from the time they put a announcement closes to the time of identifying a candidate, or
no, it's from open
okay
to identifying the candidate.
Got you. Okay.
So and a lot of the process changes, the HR process changes that we needed to get to in order to make that happen actually occurs by fairly revolutionary differences in how you approach job posting. So, for example, most of our customers do open continuous announcements.
Okay.
So if you're a candidate, every 60 days you're going to get an email. If you haven't been selected and hired, you're going to get an email that says, are you still available? Are you still interested?
Hmm.
And then you do kind of a one-click refresh,
right,
and you're still in the active pool.
Okay.
So we adopted
so
this idea.
So it's a continuous hiring process.
Yeah.
Rather than just having just announcements
yeah.
that close on a certain kind of day
yeah.
or anything like that.
And the time burn is developing the announcement,
mm-hmm.
getting it all pure and,
sure.
and perfect, right,
sure.
which is something people tend to focus on. What we found was, and we actually track this, so we have 9 million or so applicants coming through our system. And what we tracked was 0.003% of those individuals ever opened or read the vacancy announcement.
Mm.
Wow.
So what are they looking at? They're looking at the title,
at the
salary.
Title, the salary and the location.
But they're not looking at kind of qualifications or duties. They're just looking at the two different things
right.
and saying, oh, you know what, this sounds good.
Yep.
The pay is good. I'm going to put in for this.
Yep.
Okay.
And so what we did was we took all of the critical pieces of information we had to get from candidates to comply with things like affirmative action,
right.
the applicant tracking data and information that EEOC requires
okay.
of government agencies. Those were the kinds of things we started to focus on as, okay, let's make sure we're capturing that accurately, and then let's make sure we're doing an accurate assessment of the candidate
okay.
and pulling the high-quality people through. So one of our great statistics is when you're done with an AVIEW application process, we can tell if you're in the top 2-3% of the pool.
Okay.
And so now what we do is we give immediate notification to the candidate that they're qualified.
Okay.
So there's no delay. When they're online and they go through that process, they are notified instantly
that they're qualified,
that they're
for
qualified
the
and they're eligible.
Okay.
And then
now this is before they even submit.
Correct.
Okay.
And then they go into what we call part two, which is the assessment of how qualified among all of the candidates.
Okay.
Where do you rank?
Okay.
And that part
and
two
does
assessment.
Does your system give them an actual ranking? Say, hey, listen, you're in 98th percentile of the top qualified candidates.
We don't give that to the candidate
okay.
at the time, but we do score them,
okay.
and we know where they are
okay.
In the process.
And that's more internal for you guys.
Correct.
Gotcha.
And then we've adopted a process when you're in part one, if you're not qualified or you are qualified, in either case, you're given three opportunities in the application process to opt into the talent pool.
Okay.
So we're creating massive talent pools and have been for years.
Okay.
So now the agency, even before they even think about a posting or what they want to do, they can search the talent pool.
Okay.
And they may find someone who they could hire on a disability appointment. They might find someone that's specialized for a veterans
okay.
hiring appointment, a re-employed annuitant.
Right.
They can find all kinds of ways to hire people through the system because
right.
we've assessed that.
Are you seeing agencies are now maybe kind of using that as a model for hiring as
they
well?
They love it.
They do?
Love it,
really?
Yes.
Instead of just putting it out as an open announcement, now just going into your talent pool and saying, let me just kind of do a search, break it down,
right.
and then send these people
exactly.
these people an email.
That's exactly
okay.
right. And so we're reaching out to specific people we know have the skills
okay.
that we're interested in and saying.
So a federal job seeker should know that it's good for them to have their information
in the
system.
They need to opt into the pool.
Okay.
So when they're given that choice on screen, they need to say, yep, I'm
okay.
in,
okay.
because we don't want to just opt everybody in
right.
because, frankly, you may be looking for a job and your employer doesn't know.
Right, yeah, sure.
You know, and so
sure.
there you show up in the pool, you know.
right.
So,
Or you
so,
may be at an agency and then the recruiter from that
right.
agency is like, oh, you in the pool too?
Yeah.
Right.
Huh. How interesting.
yeah.
So what we're doing is making sure that people have – multiple opportunities to opt into the pool at large. Okay. And so far, since November 1st, when we started this process, 100% have opted in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the pool is going to build very, very quickly.
Okay.
And because of the way we're capturing the information, we can tell if the candidate can be hired through a non-competitive process, or if they come in through a competitive process, we can do a lot of outreach and recruitment.
But this also allows a candidate a lot more information about, because you now know that if you can be hired under, like you said, accepted service or a non-competitive, you know, status, you know, disabilities, veterans, or whatever the case is, you know this for a fact now based on what the information you've given them.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And we also added in our multi-sector workforce translator, which is when the candidate goes in, they're asked to put in their military MOS. They're asked to pick any private sector titles if they have private sector experience. They're asked to put in their federal experience. And if they're a contractor, their GSA labor category.
Okay.
And if they do any of those things, we're building a portfolio on that candidate. So we know
if you're a federal worker, do you need to put in your SF-50 or do you need to put that kind of stuff in there
as well? You put that information in, your status information in. If you're a veteran, we ask you to get a copy of your DD-214 and then fill in certain boxes that looks like your DD-214 online.
Sure.
So we can make a clear assessment of what your entitlements are.
Okay.
And make sure that you're covered.
Gotcha.
But it's been just really well received by candidates, and they're pretty enthusiastic, I think, because they do get opportunities to opt into the pool at large. They are starting to get these notifications that, you know, we may be looking to hire or we have an announcement we'd like you to take a look at, and if you're interested, go ahead and throw your hat in the ring.
Right.
So there's a lot of ways to kind of manage that.
Hold that thought quick. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to keep on talking about this hiring reform. I want to talk about what are the agencies. I mean, you know, we're talking about these new advances.
Mm-hmm.
What's been the agency's feedback, you know, over these past couple of days in terms of the hiring reform being implemented, and then also any additional feedback you're getting from, you know, customers, people who are applying.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to kind of talk about what was, you know, before and what is now. I mean, if we looked at AVIEW before November 1st,
mm-hmm.
how did it look and how does it look now? And is plain language being used in these applications in terms of these applicants and vacancy announcements?
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back. We're talking to Linda Ricks. She's a co-CEO of AVIEW Technologies. They run AVIEWCentral.com, which is a federal job site. We're talking about hiring reform, and we're going to talk a number of different issues about federal hiring when we come back. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The latest from the Federal Security Spotlight brought to you by Cisco.
It sounds basic, but one military branch is trying to be better prepared for dealing with cyber attacks. Here's Riley Repko, Senior Cyber Advisor to the Deputy Chief of Staff for Operations and Requirements at the Air Force.
The last thing that an operator needs is to have an adversary nipping at their heels to turn to their support staff and say, how do I fix it, and be handed the yellow pages. We've got to be aware of these capabilities in advance.
To hear the entire show, log on to federalnewsradio.com. Will the top-of-mind security issues of today be the issues facing government tomorrow? Get the latest from federal experts on FISMA reform, the cyber initiative, how government is combating botnets, spyware, and other cyber evils, and more. Listen to Federal Security Spotlight, sponsored by Cisco, airing Thursday from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. or on demand at federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Security Spotlight is brought to you by Cisco, the leader in federal IT security.
This week on Agency of the Month featuring the GSA is brought to you by Commercial Data Systems.
You might want to think twice before tossing out that old computer, GSAauctions.gov. It's kind of like the government's eBay. Here's GSA's Dave Robbins.
We sell everything from A to Z. We sell airplanes, boats, cars. We sold animals. We've sold CPR dolls. We've sold bowling alleys, porta potties, bedpans, furniture, computers, equipment, virtually anything that the government may use or may come in possession of the government.
I'm Ruben Gomez.
Commercial Data Systems is a small disadvantaged information technology systems integrator specializing in virtualization, cross-domain security, and database operations. With more than 25 years of contracting experience, CDS understands how to ease the procurement process for government clients. CDS offers GSA schedule purchasing with over 200,000 commercial off-the-shelf IT products, including a blanket purchase agreement for your Oracle hardware and software needs. To learn more, visit cdsinc.com. That's cdsinc.com.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
How will the U.S. withdrawal from Iraq next year affect security there? Colin Kahl. Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for the Middle East told the House Foreign Affairs Committee security remains strong and the pullout at the end of 2011 will not ignite a dramatic increase in violence. Al-Qaeda, while successful in pulling off several high-profile attacks in recent weeks, killing hundreds, the organization has not been successful in igniting widespread sectarian violence. I'm J.J. Green.
There's a lot of talk about thinking outside the box. But what about thinking inside the box? Airink is a company that looks at every angle when solving problems. In fact, Airink recently helped convert regular cargo containers into sophisticated air traffic and communications control facilities for use abroad, combining the shipping box and actual equipment into one turnkey system. Imagine that. Log on to www.arinc.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about hiring reform. We're on November, late November, getting close to Thanksgiving, and hiring reform supposedly has passed. November 1 was the deadline from the presidential's memorandum. And I have in studio Linda Rick. She's the co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They run AviewCentral.com, which is the federal job site. If you haven't been on it, it's a good site for you to find federal jobs, to apply, put your application on, and find out who's using them. And they've been in compliance with hiring reform. Am I right, Linda?
Yep.
Talk to
me
about...
We call it 1101 and done.
1101 and done. Yeah. So that was the theme.
That's
right,
our tagline, yep.
So, you know, 1101 and done. Talk to me about what people would have seen before 1101 and with your process and what people see now if you're the applicant.
If you're the applicant. Mm-hmm. If you're the applicant right now, what we've done is re-engineered what we call the application process to a part one, part two. Part one determines your eligibilities and if you're basically qualified. If you are, you immediately go to part two for further assessment. We've changed from the KSA kind of approach and process to a competency-based assessment, which is a lot easier for the candidate.
More questions?
More specifics. You know, here's what we really need in this position. So when the manager is setting up the recruit action, they're asked, what are your must-haves? What does the candidate must have?
Okay.
And what do you think is enhancing or a bit more qualifying experience?
So the HR person can say, must have, I need a person with a bachelor's in this.
It's the manager.
Okay, the manager.
The hiring manager. Yes.
So we're taking it away completely from an HR person doing this and putting it really in the hands of the HR manager.
Right. And that's where the hiring process improvement, the memorandum from the president, basically said managers need to be accountable in the process. So we wanted to pull that information in so then when it goes into HR, the HR specialist has a much better understanding of the criteria the manager is looking for. And then that is expressly stated to the candidate.
Okay.
So there's not a lot of ambiguity here.
Okay.
You're not trying to fight through fog or, you know, bureaucratic language or anything like that. You've got a very clear shot at if you have these things, that's really what we're interested in.
So an applicant should know if they're on AviewCentral.com and they're applying through that process, they should know that, hey, listen, the hiring manager was the one who put these things on here.
Correct.
Rather than maybe some other, you know, if I went on, not to, you know, down USA Jobs or anything else, but it may be different where maybe an HR specialist may have put the stuff on rather than the hiring manager.
Right. And so what we've got is a lot more clarity.
Okay.
And we think that will enhance meeting the manager's expectations because the biggest complaint actually wasn't how long it took, was a complaint that applicants had.
Right.
What managers had was a complaint about, I'm not getting the people I need.
Right.
I'm not getting the best qualified people.
And I've heard that many times.
Right. And so they were concerned about the quality of the candidate. So to speed up the process and to get the quality, because they're not mutually exclusive, you can have a faster process and have much better quality in assessment. So the idea was, by doing that, we would be able to meet both parties' needs and the president's memorandum. And at the same time, so you're getting a much clearer set of expectations in front of the candidate.
Hmm.
So we like that. We think candidates like that as well because their answers are crisp.
Okay.
And they are able to also take an opportunity. So when you get to part two and we're looking at the assessment of where you sit in the pool of candidates that we're going to consider, you're given an opportunity to do something that's fairly unusual, which is you're given an opportunity to respond to what you think you are best at, what you have the most fun doing in your job, and what you think has been the work that you have done that has been most critical to the mission of the organization. So you're allowed to provide a lot more richness of information. And at that point, we also ask you to describe a circumstance in which you utilize that skill, what the outcome was, and what your direct contribution was. So you're still getting an opportunity to really put your best foot forward, but at the same time, it's very structured.
So you're still kind of putting kind of maybe a essay response, but it's a little bit more personal.
Correct.
It's a little bit more kind of like you give a chance to really sell yourself and everything else. And it's kind of a one kind of you put this in just one time.
Right.
And you don't have to just keep on repeating
it
over and over again.
Yep.
Gotcha. Is this, you know, like 4,000 characters? I mean, a lot of people always wonder, you know, is 4,000 characters, 8,000 characters?
Yeah.
I mean, how much content
do
you have?
We do have a character limit of 4,000 characters.
4,000?
Roughly a page.
Okay.
But it's three blocks of text, so you can really elaborate.
Okay.
What we're finding is managers missed the essays more than HR.
Hmm.
So when the KSA essays went away, managers said, whoa, I use that.
Right.
That's my way of really understanding. So when we did our focus groups, what we found were managers said, I need that.
Okay.
I need the resume, but I also need that information. So
because they used to read through this.
Yes.
They would read through and find the success stories in this and maybe pick a candidate based on these stories.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so would subject matter expert panels,
right,
when they're doing the assessment. So we found a way to pull it in, but still comply with the memorandum.
Not to interrupt you, but that leads me to a question of when we talk about hiring reform, if managers say that, hey, listen, I like the KSAs, but when we talked about hiring, I mean, who's talking? Is there a missed conversation somewhere?
Yeah.
Is OPM not talking to the hiring managers or something's going on where people are missing something?
I think OPM got focused on a numerical measure with the 80-day model. Okay. And so their focus went from the effectiveness of the hiring process to the efficiency of the hiring process.
Gotcha.
And they're not the same thing. So
just
you really have to
do cut the numbers down. That's all they focused in on.
But you're not going to get managers are not going to pick off of a list no matter how fast you generate it.
Okay.
If the candidates aren't there that they want to see or there aren't enough of them. So one of the things we did, if you're a hiring manager and you're using AVIEW, you go in, you see all of the candidates who are basically qualified.
Okay.
You don't see a truncated list.
Okay.
Now, we do have list
locking. And that's what category rating is.
Well, no. Actually, that's a big misnomer.
Okay.
Category rating actually doesn't give you a more than you would get in any other hiring process.
Okay.
It does reorder the candidates a little bit differently. But instead, what we do is we give you every type of list.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get a rule of three list.
Okay.
You can get a category rating list.
Okay.
You get a non-competitive hire list. You get a direct hire list all at one time.
Okay.
But in front of that list.
So a hiring manager can see all of this data right away.
Right.
Okay.
And then in front of that, we give you just one generic list. And it's all of the candidates who met basic qualifications are on that list. So you can see how many did I get. And we give you applicant demographics. Here's how many people applied. Here's how many were screened out at this level. Here's what happened. Here are your diversity demographics, aggregate for the pool of candidates. Here's your scoring and what that looks like in a bell graph kind of style.
Sure.
So you can see all of that, and then you can see where were my candidates sourced from?
Okay.
Where did they come from?
Okay.
And how did the outreach work and all that? So it's a much different experience for the manager.
Okay.
They're getting a huge amount of information. They're allowed the access they need to meet the involvement and accountability levels that the memorandum sets out. HR folks are very enthusiastic. So we're not seeing, a resistance to this model, largely because first it's being promoted by the president's memorandum, but also the second is they're seeing a new role for themselves, much more engagement with the manager directly.
Okay.
So that's a satisfying role versus just transaction processing.
Okay.
We've managed to take all of the things that used to knock a candidate out arbitrarily, like you didn't read the vacancy announcement, and on page 14 it said you have to submit your DD-214.
Right.
So instead we put that in the very front end and we said, attach it now.
Right.
Because we don't want you to get knocked out later for something you didn't see.
Exactly.
So we're putting all the requirements up front.
That was a big problem with a lot of people.
Huge.
Because, you know, HR specialists, you know, they would always say, if we don't see this, you're automatically done.
Yeah.
And so, you know, with you kind of friendly ending it, then also if a person doesn't have it, they can go back in and then put it in.
Right.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
And they can do that anytime.
Okay.
The other group that was adversely impacted by that were current federal employees. If you were currently a federal employee and you were applying for another federal job and you did not attach your most recent SF-50, you would get knocked out and you would know it.
Wow.
So that whole process has changed because we're, again, front-loading all that.
Right.
So all your proof documents, we ask for them at the time that we need them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you submit them at the time that we ask for them, then you're good to go.
Okay.
So you should be okay.
So an applicant, just kind of walking through before we go to break, they're going to see kind of, you know, a lot more questions up front, getting a lot more information up front about, hey, give me all your forms, transcripts, DD-214,
right.
SF-50, or anything that's going to qualify you. We're going to ask you some key questions. Then you put your resume on in.
Right.
And can you have more than one resume?
Yes.
Okay. So
unlimited number.
Unlimited? Okay.
Unlimited number.
All right. So it's not five. You can have as many resumes
as you want.
Many targeted resumes.
In the format that you want.
Hmm.
So if you're going to attach a Word document, if you spend a lot of time on style.
Exactly.
And form and format.
Okay.
You attach it exactly the way you want it to be
so
seen.
So you don't necessarily have to have it in, you know, because the OF-612 will ask for related information, not chronological. It'll ask for relevant information to the job that you're targeting.
Right.
So people can make a kind of targeted resume based off of OF-612 model.
Correct.
And just put that on up there rather than just dropping it into the field.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Is that a new change?
It's not new for us. It's not something a lot of people know about. But if you're an AVU candidate and you're used to the AVU method, you can not only attach your resume, you can attach work samples, training certificates. If you have a contracting officer's warrant, you know, if you have even if you have like a certain type of commercial driver's license.
Right.
You can attach anything.
Anything you want to.
Unlimited.
In any form.
In
PDF,
any form.
Microsoft Word,
right.
Or whatever you want to do.
Right.
Any kind of pictures, a GIF.
Yep.
Wow. And in terms of that, is that what you recommend? I mean, are you seeing that hiring managers, they want to see more?
Yes.
Okay.
They love the attachments.
They do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's just so much more information about the candidate. And I think, you know, it's the kind of thing that a candidate who has spent, you know, years developing this career portfolio,
right.
You know, they have a chance to show it. So we don't call it a resume. We call it a career portfolio.
Okay.
So that it distinguishes between the standard types of things. And then we look for specifics like languages,
right.
Language proficiencies, very, very specific detailed information that you can provide as well. Security clearances, prior performance evaluations,
right.
Things like that.
Right. We're going to take a quick break. That's some good advice for candidates to know. The more is better sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to keep on talking about the hiring reform. But then we're going to talk about some new advances you guys have been doing. Stuff with contractors. You got an iPad app we want to talk about.
Yeah.
People need to know about that. And then we also talk about kind of what's going on with this political climate in terms of targeting agencies. I want to get your thoughts on that in terms of, you know, salaries of government workers and even, you know, people running for politics, attacking the government. I'm going to get your thoughts on that as well. We'll be right back after this break. We're talking about hiring reform. We're talking to Linda Ricks. She's co-CEO of AVU Technologies Incorporated. They run AVUCentral.com. That's AVUECentral.com, which is a federal job site that you need to probably be aware of and be on. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Today's Emergency Preparedness Series is brought to you by the D.C. Homeland Security and Emergency Management Agency.
When Republicans take control of the House next year, the Homeland Security Committee will likely differ on one major issue with the Democratic-led Senate Committee. Congressional observers expect the Republicans to push for more fencing along the Mexican border and an increase in the arrest and deportation of illegal immigrants. But the two sides are expected to agree on issues like cargo security and disrupting terrorist plots in the United States. I'm Mark Seagraves.
Did you know that more than 3,000 people die in home fires each year in the U.S.? A working smoke alarm will alert you to danger and could make the difference between life and death. Smoke and heat intensify quickly.
Every second counts. If a fire occurs while you and your family are asleep, how will everyone escape? Without a plan, you may not know the best route to safety. Create a family emergency escape plan. Visit 72hours.org to learn how. Remember, get out and stay out.
WashingtonCaps.com is the destination for behind-the-scenes coverage of your Washington Capitals. Get the most comprehensive Caps coverage with in-depth previews and analysis for every game, and blog, Twitter, and Facebook updates all day, every day. Check out Caps 365, where you can view all the best goals, saves, and hits, and access exclusive player interviews, press conferences, and much more. Check it all out on WashingtonCaps.com and do your part in building America's hockey capital.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, Dell, and Aview Technologies. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been having an interesting conversation about the implementation of hiring reform. Hiring reform, as we know, was supposed to be implemented on November 1st of this year. But for some agencies, it happened. For some agencies, it didn't. But for the agencies of Aview Central, it seems like it did. And we're talking to Linda Ricks, and she's talking about the whole kind of process they were using in order to get their agencies, their client agencies, on and in compliance with the hiring reform. She's in studio with me right now. She's a co-CEO of Aview Technologies that runs AviewCentral.com. Linda, we were talking over the break, and I think this would be helpful for people to know, who are some of the client agencies that, that you guys are working with, you know, in terms of who are now in compliance?
We have HUD.
Okay.
And parts of the Department of Justice, along with the Forest Service. We've got a variety of ledge branch clients. We have other folks in the financial regulatory agencies. It's pretty scattered throughout the government. And what we're finding is it's being received extremely well by the HR community as well as the hiring managers. I think for applicants, it's nicer because you feel like you're at risk of leaving something out that might be important to you. So overall, I think that the hiring reform has put in place an opportunity for agencies to be able to do what they've been wanting to do for a long time, which is
and what's been chanted.
Right. Yeah. Now, I think OPM could go a step further. That they haven't done, which is instead of getting and OPM has been getting very process involved, and instead of doing that, I think what they need to do is go back to their policy involvement and delegate more to the agencies. I think where we're seeing some breakdown between what the desired outcome is, which is faster, easier recruitment of high quality candidates and getting them in the door. What we're seeing is that to do that really well, OPM needs to let go of some of these things that, that they continue to kind of have a lock on. And it's not regulatory stuff.
Ain't playing devil's advocate. Now, OPM will say, well, we've got these hiring flexibilities. You know, we've created all these different hiring flexibilities. And, you know, we've told the agencies they can use this, that, and the other to bring people in. I mean, so what would be the argument there?
The argument there is that OPM really continues to hold a regulatory oversight role that that has actually interfered with the stated objective. And so what you have are you have a
about
lot
how to
of pressure.
Classification and all this other kind of stuff.
And things like the vacancy announcement, the purity of the vacancy announcement. So a lot of the regulatory stuff is in the transactional, what would have been true of the paper world. That is not true of the online world anymore. They've actually been the biggest deterrent to success in changing those processes. And if they delegated more directly to the agency and let the agencies run their own HR operation based on the mission needs of the agency and got away from that, I think we'd see a lot more success.
Let me play devil's advocate again, because some people will say, well, listen, I mean, you know, we've got now this centralized place, and I tell people USA Jobs is not the only place to find federal jobs, because you've got competitive service, deceptive service, and everything else. So it's only one place, you know, and then your site is another place. But devil's advocate will say, well, if you let it go to all these different agencies, well, then they're going to start creating their own, you know, kind of hiring process and everything else. Do you think that's okay?
I think it's okay. And the reason I do is because there's this notion of, let's just take USA Jobs as an example. Now, we're getting, on average, 200 to 400 applicants per opening,
okay,
for our federal agency clients. 10% of those come from USA Jobs, They're coming in from the major search engines, Google, MSN, AOL. You know, they're coming in from not even job search engines. They're just coming in through the search engine process. And we know this because we can see how they're inbound,
right? You're tracking,
So because of that, what you have is, if you have this forced funnel where everybody goes through the same process, you got problems several ways. One is, if you look at the compensation difference in the federal government, you got financial regulatory oversight agencies pay the most. Their average salaries are $130,000 a year. Okay. You've got agencies like the VA, parts of DOD, where the average salary is $40,000 to $50,000.
Okay.
It's not the same funnel. You're not looking for the same talent.
Right.
You're not going to do the same outreach.
Sure.
You're going to do whatever is going to work for your agency's mission. So we're big advocates of deregulation of that. And we're seeing it in actual practice because we're watching the inbound candidate.
Okay. Is it possible, I mean, even with the regulations that are on the books right now, is it possible for an agency to say, listen, we want to do it a little bit differently, and we're not going to follow these mandates? I mean, do agencies, you know, OPM always, they can provide guidance, but can they hold agencies, or people just think they can hold their agency? I mean, what's the truth on that?
The truth on that is there are very few places where they can do that.
Okay.
But when you have a an operating initiative like this, and you tie it to a performance scorecard that is then tied to your agency's budget, that's pretty heavy. So you're gonna comply, and you're gonna do all the reporting necessary to make that happen. And the reporting load right now on the agency is very heavy. So you got agencies that are spending a lot of time just managing up. Reporting up on data. And fortunately for us, what we do is we provide that all seamlessly, electronically, and it's done. So one thing I also think is really crucial is, in the process of doing the delegation, what we have tried to do with our customers is say, staffing and recruitment is a crucial function of your agency. But in addition to that, getting enterprise-wide visibility, not just of your federal workforce, but of your contractor workforce, and getting a look at your total enterprise. You know, where are my people? What are they doing right now? What skills do they have? How can they be deployed? How can my organization be optimized? What's inherently governmental? What's okay to contract
out? So you can do workforce and manpower planning.
Right.
Is there, and from what I'm hearing is, there is no, well, and maybe you have that system now, but there is no system that's completely tracking a federal workforce of an agency to kind of say, okay, these are all the people we have. These are their skill sets. These are the things we're missing. This is what we need to do, you know, in the future, going into 2012. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. And what we found is that the grand truth is, you're always going to have a blended workforce, right? You're going to have a mix of contractors, a mix of federal employees. The key is, what's the optimal mix? What's the most cost-effective mix? And what is the mixture that gives me a way to optimize how my workforce is deployed and what they work on, and what citizen services get delivered? So what we have found is, you've got a real problem with being able to give key executives that kind of visibility. So we designed a methodology for that. We have cost modeling tools. We have organizational modeling and design tools. We put the iPad application together so key executives can look up in real time what the status of their organization is. You know, how many people are have an offer letter from us right now.
Right.
And what's their likely date to enter on duty?
Now, some people will ask the question, well, everybody doesn't have an iPad. I mean, how are you taking care of that?
Well, for us, the iPad is part of your AVU subscription.
Okay.
So you subscribe to AVU, and your key executives, now assistant secretary level and so on, get these iPads.
Okay.
So that they have visibility.
Okay.
And it's not just their current, it's their extended enterprise. And every agency's been asked to do a service contractor inventory.
Okay.
So we have the mechanism for that. And are able to pull data in from other sources like the finance system or the acquisition management system, not just the HR systems, and kind of blend it together.
Okay.
So what we're doing is creating a holistic view, which we think is really important because 5 years from now, we're looking at what's our bench strength, what happens if these contracts expire. Do we have the onboard talent to pull that work in, or is it something that's more appropriately contracted out because we have major fluctuations in that program?
Okay.
And one thing the government, it has a tough time doing is expanding and contracting its workforce when its programs expand and contract quickly. So
is that because the data's not there? Is that because everybody's scrambling to kind of find out what the data is, and some agencies don't know how many contractors we completely have? Or, I mean, why is that the case?
I think there is very little visibility on the contractor workforce.
Okay.
And that's just I think it's not anything necessarily diabolical. It's more like it just happened as a matter of course, right?
Right?
And right now, with the ability to see what that looks like, it's kind of like gravity. You're always going to have this blended workforce. At least you should know what it is and know what the visibility is and know what the benefit of it is.
There's been talking about insourcing a lot, recently, especially within DOD and other places like that with the contractor workforce.
Right.
I mean, does your tool kind of help with the decision making in terms of insourcing and bringing people in as well?
Right. So what we're doing is giving executives the ability to model that and to model the cost of it. So when you're looking at contractor costs versus federal employee costs, what's the cost impact of doing those kinds of things? Which I think is where we need to get going here, is we've really got to push on that because we're starting to find, you read the papers, I read the papers, you've got a lot of targeting of federal employees right now in terms of pay and comparable pay and things like that. We've got some challenges here that need to be met with concrete facts. Here is actually.
I'll tell you what, hold that thought and let's talk about it on the next segment, because this has been a concern of mine in terms of people talking about federal salaries and everybody saying that federal government employees are paid too much now. That's been the big talk of the town. And let's talk about the truth of it when we come back. We're talking about hiring reform. We're talking about federal pay. We're talking about AVU Central. We're talking about a lot of different things right now. Always so much to talk about when I have Linda Ricks in the studio. We'll be right back. Linda Ricks is in with me. She's the co-CEO of AVU Technologies, and they run AVUCentral.com, a federal job site. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has just completed a major update of the agency's primary education resource portal, the website education.noaa.gov. The aim is to better connect educators and students interested in NOAA's education and science resources. The website serves as a portal to lesson plans, educational multimedia, data sources, career profiles, and other education content. The website has 5 themes. Teachers can find information about hurricanes, tides, climate change, the water cycle, or other earth science topics. It also provides information on professional development, academic scholarships, career exploration, and education grants. NOAA's mission is to understand and predict changes in the Earth's environment, as well as to conserve and manage coastal and marine resources.
General Dynamics Information Technology, delivering the strength of technology to achieve mission success. General Dynamics IT. Visit GDIT.com to learn more.
If you've been around Washington as long as I have, you know the one constant is change. The players change, laws change. If you're a federal retiree or soon to be one, you need to know that some of those changes could affect your retirement future. There's one association fighting to make sure that doesn't happen, and that's NARF, the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. If you work for or have worked for Uncle Sam, you need NARF. NARF is the only association that's dedicated to making sure your retirement is secure when you reach retirement. Don't wait until after you retire to join NARF. Check out their website at www.narfe.org. You'll see that NARF is a great investment for your retirement future. Then, click on the Join Now button and join hundreds of thousands of federal retirees and employees as a NARF member. Or call them at 800-627-3394, 800-627-3394, and have them send you more information.
HalfPriceDC.com. Half Price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, spas, and more.
This week, buy Half Price gift certificates to Studio 355 Hair and Day Spa. Award-winning stylists combine cutting-edge style with relaxation.
Saki Japanese Steakhouse in Laurel, specializing in Japanese cuisine and hibachi dinners, providing exceptional customer service and a wonderful dining experience. The Grilled Jamaican Eatery, savor a taste of the tropics.
See all the offers at HalfPriceDC.com.
What are some of the critical transportation challenges facing the U.S.? How is the Research and Innovative Technology Administration, or RITA, advancing an intelligent transportation system? What is IntelliDrive, and what role does technology play in making our transportation system safe, secure, and efficient? Join host Michael Keegan next week for an encore presentation of the Business of Government Hours conversation with Peter Apple, Administrator of the Research and Innovative Technology Administration within the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Diaper bag, check. Bouncy seat, check. Stroller, car seat, bottles, butt wipes, and binky, check, check, and double check. Why it takes 30 pounds of equipment to transport one 12-pound baby, we'll never know. So at Kaiser Permanente, we put everything for baby and you in one place. Everything you need, from obstetricians and nurses to nutritionists and pediatricians. A whole care team of specialists assembled to keep your baby and you in top running order, not running around. And you can even go online with My Health Manager to schedule routine appointments, check most lab results, and exchange emails with your Kaiser Permanente doctor's office. Imagine having a conversation with your pediatrician without having to fold or unfold that stroller. Convenient? Check. Efficient? Check. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive. Learn more at kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated. 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been having an interesting conversation about hiring reform. You need to go back online and check it out if you just missed some of these previous segments. But we've been talking about the implementation of hiring reform. November 1 was a timetable. AviewCentral.com and their client agencies have implemented hiring reform on their site and doing some unique things. Other agencies haven't, and we're hoping that they get on board. But in this whole process, and I have in the studio with me, I have Linda Ricks. She's a co-CEO of AviewTechnologies.com. AviewTechnologies Incorporated. They run AviewCentral.com. But Linda, we were talking about kind of the targeting of agencies, and you know, something that's always disturbed me. Every political system, every time we get ready for campaigns, we always hear this talk about federal workers, you know, being paid too much, and it seems almost some, you know, in my eyes, some politicians begin kind of downing the government, and you know, but then they have to utilize the government when they get in office, if they do it when. So, what's your take on this? I mean, I know that you have some thoughts on it. What do you feel about the whole salary conversation, the whole targeting of agencies? What's your thoughts?
I go back to actually years and years ago when I actually worked for the government, and I worked for OPM. At the time. And we had a similar situation where federal employees were becoming a convenient political target, and people were talking about, you know, they were overpaid, they got too much stuff in terms of benefits and so on. And I remember my regional director at the time, his name was Tom McCarthy, and he went on the local news in Seattle, and he said, "Let me tell you about federal employees." And he always had this speech. Neil Armstrong was a federal employee.
Right.
And let's talk about value and those kinds of things. But always OPM's role at that time was to advocate and be the body that would be able to articulate that the pay issues, how they did their pay surveys, how they advised the president on pay and setting federal pay. We were always considered at that time the body that would say, here is factually what federal employees contribute to our society. And I think that's missing. And I think it's been missing for a decade or more. Probably the biggest part of it is OPM, I think, has shifted from its policy role to a process role. And in getting overabsorbed in the process, they've not done adequate pay analysis. They don't have defensible facts. And instead, what happened was organizations outside the government, like the Cato Institute and some of our political figures who are relying on data provided by the Cato Institute, are filling that gap and actually being able to say, but we have done the analysis and this is what it shows. So we need the rollback of this to be supportive factually on a fact-based discussion about what it is that federal employees contribute and how they make that contribution and why that contribution is important. And I think that's missing.
Linda Ricks, co-CEO of AVIEW Technologies Incorporated. AVIEWCentral.com is their website. It's a federal job site. You should go on there if you're doing a federal job search or kind of thinking about getting a federal job in the near future. Thank you so much, Linda,
Thank
for coming
you.
On Fed Access.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
Have Federal News Radio headlines delivered directly to your inbox. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
The FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com takes a look at the issues surrounding cloud computing through the eyes of those who are using it every day. We'll share with you the challenges, opportunities, and lessons learned from some of the top minds in the world of federal IT. Collaborate with others and help shape the discussion on cloud computing at the FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com or follow the FedCloud blog on Twitter. The FedCloud blog is sponsored by Cisco and Intel.
The 16th annual BB&T Classic, presented by Boeing, benefiting the Children's Charities Foundation, returns to Verizon Center December 5th with a thrilling triple header of college basketball. The BB&T Classic, also brought to you by BMW of Fairfax, P.F. Chang's, and Masson, features Florida versus American, George Washington against Navy, and Maryland taking on preseason number 8 Temple. Tickets on sale now. For more information and to help make a difference with at-risk children, visit bbntclassic.com and on Facebook. The 16th annual BB&T Classic triple header, Sunday, December 5th at Verizon Center.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
How will the U.S. withdrawal from Iraq next year affect security there? Colin Kahl, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for the Middle East, told the House Foreign Affairs Committee, security remains strong and the pullout at the end of 2011 will not ignite a dramatic increase in violence. Al-Qaeda, while successful in pulling off several high-profile attacks in recent weeks, killing hundreds, the organization has not been successful in igniting widespread sectarian violence. I'm J.J. Green.
There's a lot of talk about thinking outside the box. But what about thinking inside the box? Airink is a company that looks at every angle when solving problems. In fact, Airink recently helped convert regular cargo containers into sophisticated air traffic and communications control facilities for use abroad, combining the shipping box and actual equipment into one turnkey system. Imagine that. Log on to www.arinc.com to learn more.
Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
Good, thanks. Just getting ready for the holidays.
Same here. You headed out of town?
Yeah.
Let me ask you, do you worry about the house?
No, not since we got home monitoring from Ackerman Security Systems.
Ackerman?
That's right. Not only is it one of the largest security companies in the country with more than 40 years' experience, but get this, when you switch to Ackerman, you pay just $18.95 a month.
$18.95. What's the catch?
No catch. There's also no cost to switch, and you can use your existing equipment. With Ackerman, we know the house is safe, even if the neighborhood is cleared out for the holidays.
Whether you want a new system with the latest technology or you want to switch to reliable monitoring for just $18.95 a month, call 1-888-999-1070. That's 1-888-999-1070. Or visit AckermanSecurity.com. Join the more than 180,000 people who enjoy peace of mind with Ackerman. And as an added bonus for federal employees, when you make the switch, the first 4 months...